two people already that have been their hands up. Amen. Okay. So here we go. It's a touchy subject. I'm sorry it is. It should be a glorious subject. It should be. Gee, Maniz, are you kidding me? God has a plan for my money? But it isn't. It's just, you know, you just have eyes popping out of people's heads and you, if you don't want to tithe, don't tithe. It's fine with me. We are not depending on people's tithes. We are all in on faith in God. Okay? And faith in God is about saying to God, Father God, I am a tither. I've said this in my life over and over to God when something happens and I go, that shouldn't have happened. And I'll go to God and say, Father God, I shouldn't have had my air conditioner go out. Shouldn't have had that. And sure enough, every time you plead your case with God, and that's one of the best prayers there is, when you have had something happen that you just know, this is not something that should have happened to me. Amen. You plead your case before God. Find it in the book of Isaiah. God told Isaiah, you plead your case before me. Okay? So, just plead your case. Father, I'm a tither. I've been a tither from the day, I have personally, I've been a tither from the day I got saved. I got saved on a Tuesday night, and on Wednesday I gave a tithe, and nobody ever told me to give a tithe. I just had it in me. I'm going to give God 10% of this. Have never missed since then. So when I talk to him, Father God, I'm a tither. You rebuke the devourer for me. You open the windows of heaven over me. I always have enough, even when it doesn't look like I'm going to have enough. So Father, this thing right here needs to go away. Okay? And he'll always respond. He'll do something for you that will cause you to just go, how did he ever do this? How did he ever do it? But he does. Okay? He does. And many times he's not going to do it in an obvious way either until you look back and you go, you know what? That air conditioner broke and We had to really, really get some wisdom to be able to make a new one work. But we see how God did that now, looking back. Okay, it's just an interesting thing to live for God. It really is. And we're going to be talking about that right now as we pick back up in Ephesians. Last week we started in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to do something for a while that we learned in Bible school, and that is this. There are two kinds of preaching. One is called topical preaching, in which you take a topic, and that topic is going to be your message. So, obviously, John just spoke on the topic of, and so did I, on tithing. That's topical ministry. But there is something else called expository teaching. Expository teaching comes from the word expose. So you read the Bible verse by verse and you expose the truth in the Bible. And that doesn't mean that topically you don't consult the Bible. No, in both cases, you are doing things biblically, but one is going verse by verse, and the other is going topic to topic. So in the case, I feel like God wants us to get to a place that you have more understanding of how to deal with life's mountains than you ever in your life have had, And to do that, I think we need to do it expositorially, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because God's word is invaluable in every area of your life, but no area of life is more important than running into a mountain and as a Christian saying, boy, that's one big mountain right there. But I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go over it. I'm going to go around it. But I'm getting on the other side.
All right.
Amen. Just get on the other side. Glory to God. God's going to get me over there. So last week, we just talked about the first portion of this chapter 1. And as we were going through it, there's a couple of things I want to point out to you. Verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What's that mean? It's good stuff. That's good. That's good. It is good stuff. Amen. What's a spiritual blessing? Don't talk all at the same time. There we go. I hear it. Salvation. Peace. Love, joy, all those things there. Wisdom, absolutely. Wisdom is a spiritual force. It's not a mental force. God will tell you some of the strangest things in the world to solve things that you just think, you got to be kidding me. And I tell this story frequently about these kind of situations. In our first church, I was working with a lot of people that are in agriculture out on the eastern plains. And so they live a very interesting life because they have a long period between seed time and harvest. Yeah. So if you're a very wealthy farmer, very successful farmer, you're going to be able to bankroll yourself, but there are huge, huge sections of a year that you don't have any income at all. None. And then when the harvest comes, brother, you got more money than you know what to do with at that moment until you go, well, we got to go another 12 months. Or another 9 months or another 6 months before we get the harvest, okay? So, in this case, we always had a 6 o'clock in the morning time of prayer on Wednesdays. And so we went one morning, and one of the guys after the meeting came back into my office. And he said, Pastor Brian, now I'd been pastoring for 3 months. Didn't have this class in school. He said, Pastor Brian, I just lost $80,000 on the market. He said, this is a big deal. So he said, I just need you to pray for me. So to make a long story short, as I was praying for him, I heard the Lord say this, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He didn't ask for any advice about his marriage. But when God's talking, he'd been talking to that person before they talked to you. And so I said, Larry, I haven't been doing this very long, so just forgive me if I'm blow it. I just heard the Lord say, a man shall leave his father and lover, father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And he went, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Never forget it. Just jumped out of his chair. I knew it. And I said, well, how does any of this have any kind of connection? He said, my mother is the kind of lady that has her nose in everybody's business. And she was a very influential lady out there. If you would say her name, the whole town would know who you're talking about. She ran a lot of stuff because she was a very, very good leader. So those kind of people, you know, they kind of run over folks. His wife was able to be run over. And so his wife was miserable because they lived on a farm that had their house and mom and daddy's house next to each other. He said, my wife is absolutely miserable here. So he said, I'm playing around on the markets to try to figure out how I can get her in another place. So I said, that part's your deal. I gave the message, let's go have coffee. So at any rate, that whole thing, it took about a year to get done. But God just opened up one of the most beautiful places in all of eastern Colorado for them to buy. And it was from another guy, a guy that was in our church. So both of them knew each other really well. One of them had a great opportunity down in Tulsa. And so for him, being able to sell his house real fast was going to be a good thing, because that opportunity was going to close if he didn't get down there pretty quickly. So all in all, God got it all done, and that next year gave him a harvest that was way over what he lost. Okay, now it took a while, yeah, but he did it, yeah. So just man, the wisdom of God comes out a lot of different ways, doesn't it? And many times, with marriages particularly, the relationship between the husband and the wife has way more to do with their blessing than you can have any idea. Because the Bible says if you don't get along, your prayers won't be answered. Everybody know that scripture? Yeah. You've got to have things right in the house, because that's where everything begins in life, the way that God wants us to do. So spiritual blessings include all kinds of things that maybe we wouldn't consider to be a blessing. You know, it may be way bigger than a blessing, such as spiritual blessings. Redemption is a spiritual blessing. And to me, that word is so huge. It means so much. I can't even think of it as a blessing, because my gosh, it's a life changer. You know, redeeming means God bought you back from the thief that stole you out of God's hands. And really, it wasn't God's hands, because God never lets us go until we say, we're leaving you, big boy. So he will not violate your desire to leave him. He won't violate that. Okay? He makes you to be like him. We are made in his image and his likeness. So we must understand he is a God who has a choice as well. Okay? He is a God of choice. He is a God of decisions. So he made us that way, And he will never let us go until we say we want to be let go. Okay? I'm going to stop there. I got other places to go. Okay? Now, so I want you to listen to the tense of this word. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? Is it future? Is it past? Or is it now? Taking place now or in the past. One or the other. It has, spiritual blessings have been given. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him, that's Jesus, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Okay, so hang on to this. Hang on to this. He said that your and my position, our position before God, was established before we were made. Yeah. And what he did was, before he made us, because he's God, he wrote a book about us. And some of you, the book was short. I don't even know what that means, but I thought it would be a good thing to say. With others, the book is long. I think it's maybe how much you talk. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. Yeah. But the Bible says he knows every word that you will ever say in your life. So, he is an amazing God, isn't he? So God planned all this out. He wrote the novel. He has sub-novels that are just your life. And brother, he is determined through redemption to get you to a place that you're not a fallen, sinful creature, but you are holy and blameless. That was the plan, and he's going to get you there if you'll just follow him. Get every person there that just follows him, okay? So my focus today is this. He has already done this. He's already given us the blessings we need. He's already given us everything that we need in the Bible, the gospel. We ended last week with this statement, in him, in Jesus also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. Everybody say, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. You got to believe this book. Got to believe this book. Why not? It's only the most famous book that's ever been written. Why not? Why not read the all-time bestseller book instead of just the one that the New York Times knows about? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, here's what he says. The gospel, when you believe it, once that happens, when you believe the good news about Jesus buying you back from the pit of hell. That's good news, is it not? It's not good news to go, well, he did that for everybody that's real, real religious. But I never wanted to be real religious. Okay? So I guess I'm out of that group. That's not good news. I don't want to be religious, but I'd like to be in heaven. Okay? So what God's saying is, you just start believing this, and you're going to find something happen. This is what it's going to be. You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given as a pledge. That literally means a down payment of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Okay, so everybody understand this. Understand it. God bought you back with Jesus' death. He bought you back from the chains of hell. He set you free and made you and I heirs of His Son and His kingdom. So He made us to be ambassadors of the gospel. Okay? He's assigned us to be His people in the earth by this seal of the Holy Spirit. When you get that seal of the Holy Spirit, at that point, everything on the inside of you begins to change, my friend. And brother, pretty soon, all the stuff you hated about religion, now you're doing them all. And maybe even going past some of them. Amen. You're doing it. Glory to Jesus. And you like it. Woo, you like it. Glory to God. I remember when I got saved, again, I got saved on a Tuesday, gave my first tithe on Wednesday, went to church on Sunday, and I sang in the choir, as Jocelyn did. And so I'm in the choir, and I'm singing the old hymns that I sang my whole life, and all of a sudden, I heard what they were saying. And I turned to Jocelyn and I said, wow, this is awesome. Wow. I've sang this thing 1,000 times. I never even learned the third chorus. This is astounding. How many happened to anybody in here? You just go, whoa, this song is just astounding. Okay? So something changed inside. Something changed inside. Now what you need to know with your inheritance is you don't have to wait for it because the guy that gave it to you already died. His name is Jesus. You can't have an inheritance until the person that put you in His will dies. When Jesus died, your inheritance became yours, whether you're in earth or in heaven, and you can call on God for that inheritance. Amen? Part of your inheritance is the coolest house you have ever seen in your life, waiting in heaven, and it is paid for. It's not even a home makeover thing, man. It's a brand new house. Wow. And it is going to be the desire of your heart when you see it. Going to be awesome. Amen. Part of your inheritance is home. You're going to have a home in heaven. All right? Now, this is a big deal. And we're going to close with this. In fact, we closed with it last week too. You and I got to figure out, how do we get this inheritance? How do we get it? Well, you have to be born again. That's the beginning of it. But that's not the end of it. So you got to have the new birth inside. You've got to have that seal of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But beyond that, in verse 15, where we ended, it says this: "For this reason, too, I have, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love," there you go, John, "the love you have for all the saints," Paul said, "when I heard about all that, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." In my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. And he's writing to the Ephesians. Okay? So it's just like the church in Greeley. I want to give to you, church of in Greeley. I want to give you this. I want to give you a heart in which your eyes see what God sees. You see things the way God does, okay? The eyes of your heart being enlightened, that's what he's talking about. Your heart and your eyes of your heart are starting to see the light of God. The light of God. How many have ever been around or used to be the person that as soon as you hear something, you speak total negativity? "Well, I'll tell you one thing, that'll never work out. I'll just tell you that. I've seen too many people try that. That never works." Don't have to lift your hand. I can tell it's almost everybody. How many have been down that road? Mr. Negative right there. Amen. I'm going to be that way. Not going to be that way when the eyes of your heart get perked up. The eyes of your heart are going to show you a way you never saw before to get through things. Okay? So he wants us to have the Spirit, this is verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation." He reveals. That's what revelation is. He's showing you something instead of just saying something. Okay, showing you something in the knowledge of him. And then the Apostle Paul went on to pray, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling in your life." His calling is what he designed you to do. He designed you to do. If you don't have that right, you are in big trouble because you're pursuing the wrong thing. And God's work in your life is all about turning you around to get you back into what you will love to do the most. It is so crucial. I cannot tell you. It is so crucial that we know what our calling is. When we know, I always say it this way, when you're in your calling, you'll know that you're in it because it feels right. And no matter how hairy it gets, you just go, this is just part of it. Just part of it. But I would pay to do what I do. I would pay to do what I do. Amen. Just because I am doing something that is so much in me. It's just in me. It just seems like I was born for this. And you were. All right? You were born for this. Now that's not the end of this thing, because God covers every base. So you just don't know. You just don't stop when you go, "Well, I know what I'm supposed to do." And then you start to do it. There's more to it. Okay? There's a second thing that he wants us to know. So first of all, you got to have your calling down. And then the next thing is, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now, what that means is this: when you get into your calling, God has inheritance for you. So God has picked all the people that you are around and work with. He's picked them, handpicked all of you to be a group that works together. And when you work together, things begin to happen. If you're in the right, if you're in the right place with God, things will begin to happen that are unbelievable. Unbelievable from a good perspective. Okay? You'll have finances come in that are unbelievable. So I'm going to give you something to see if you could believe this. Okay? In our first church, we had, as I said before, we had a bunch of farmers. So we were getting ready to build a new building because the building that we were in was a rented old school that was built in 1914. And you could basically, if anything fell on the roof, then it would crack the plaster in the ceiling in the building. So we had plaster falling quite regularly. Amen. And the board of the church said, we are not investing a dime in this place. Okay? No way. We are going to build a new building. All right? So the farmers all got together, and they got some land. They got 180 acres of corn ground leased. And so five of them took turns doing all the things that you have to do to get that crop done. And this crop was beans. So in about the middle of the summer, probably in July, it seems like somewhere in there, we had a hailstorm back over that land that was just unbelievable. Just black clouds, man, and just hammered that whole area out there. So one of the guys called, and he had a lot of land, and he was a guy in our church. And after he went out there and looked at it, he called his guy that comes out and looks for how much damage there was. And that guy told the guy in our church, the farmer in our church, he said, that one's wiped out. All gone. So I didn't know that at the time. Okay? I didn't know he did that. So one of the guys on my board, he came rolling in the morning after this big storm, and he said, I was in the church building, and he said, jump it, come get my pickup right now. So I said, okay. So we got in the pickup, and he said, I'm going to take you out to the area that we're farming out here, and he said, we're going to fix this thing. Okay, I grew up in wheat country. I don't know what a bean is. And so we get out in that area, get out of the pickup, and he said, just don't pay any attention to what you're seeing. I said, Larry, I'm seeing, and I don't see. He said, good, good. You have faith. He said, I'm going to go get copper, and he said, I'm going to put copper all over this 180 acres. So he said, I need you to come out and help me do this. So, you know, it didn't take us long to do it. But he said, all right, we're going to pray over this thing. And we are going to believe God that there's going to be a harvest off this ground.
All right.
I said, yeah, I can do that. This doesn't look bad to me. I have no idea what it's supposed to look like. So September shows up. And they do something with beans called turning the beans. And the guy that had his guy come out and make the call on how bad the damage was, he had seen that there was some things growing out there. And so he went over, and he was the one that forked those beans. And once he got done doing that, he called one of the other guys in the church and said, let's call for a truck or two. Because he said, there's certainly something there, but there's not much. So to make a long story short again, amen. When we went out to harvest those beans, they had two semis. For 180 acres, that's pathetic, okay? By the time we got done, there was 5 truckloads full. The funnest ride I have ever had in my entire life, because we had 2 different combines, and when I was riding in the cabs with the farmers that were doing the combining, they said, both of them independently said, I don't know what God is doing, but we are combining dirt, and look behind you, and all the beans are coming out of the back of the thing, and I can see them all, and it's just pouring beans, and they said, see the dirt? You find a bean out of that thing. It was just astounding, and we're just going, whoa. That is shocking. So by the time it's all, we're getting done and everybody's seeing what's going on, then there's about 50 people from the church come out. Let's have a picnic. This is really awesome. We thought this was going to be a downer, man. This is a party time. So we just had a great time out there. It was just phenomenal, okay? And we ended up getting about $14,000 out of that insurance would say was an absolute 100% a failure. Amen. And insurance guys know what they're looking at. All right. So last little bit of this, the man that did the forking and was the guy that said, man, it's all gone. He told his wife when we gave the report at church how many bushels of beans we got. He went out the door and told his wife, I'll never go back. And she said, why? That was a great report, honey. You had something to do with that. He said, hey, they're lying. There's nothing there. He said, they're bald-faced lying to us. I'm never going back there. And so it was pretty strange because I had the tickets in my hand showing the church. And he would not believe it. And finally, I had to go talk to him after his wife, bless her heart, said, you need to go talk to my husband or we're never going to go back to church again. And so I was talking to him about it, and I said, man, we have the stubs. We got them. And we have the money coming. And he said, I have no way of understanding how what I saw could have done that. And I said, sometimes the Lord just says, thank you, Dad. And it just, kaboom, it just comes in. Just, whoom. And he said, I'll just tell you, there is no other way there could have been a crop there. It had to be God doing something in the ground. He had to be doing something. And I just thought about it, and I just thought, you know what? I think he probably has things we haven't seen before. See, and a preacher can say that, but a guy of the land, for him, that is really hard to understand. So God wants us, and I'll close with this, God wants us to understand when we get together and we're in our calling and we're doing something for him, he's going to be able to go above and beyond because now we have synergy working for us. So we have a group, a big group of people that are all together believing the same thing. And when you get that, you get a multiplication of the power of God. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That is synergy. How many of you in this room would like to all get together and say, you know what? I think we ought to have the best year we have ever had in our lives this year. I think we ought to have it this year. Amen. We can do that right now, so let's do it. Amen. Let's all get up on our feet. And as best as we can, let's join hands all across this room. Everybody get connected. Amen. Everybody get connected. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. Let me take your hand. All right. Everybody, if you'll just say after me, Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to all agree for one another in love, in joy, in peace. And Father, we say that your plan for this year is going to come to pass. And when it does, this will be the best year we have ever had in every area of our lives, not just one or two. We're going to have the best year with our families. Going to have the best year with our finances. We're going to have the best year with our friends. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted a big amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep that in mind. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in this place today. And he can do it, don't you know? Amen. So let's close with this. Father, we thank you for every person in this building. We thank you that they are the head and not the tail. They're blessed going out and they're blessed coming in. That, Father God, their future is in your hands, your capable hands. And Lord, we have asked with all humility, Lord, for you to make this the best year we have ever had. Glory to God. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for every person in this place, every person that comes to this church, that Lord, the blessing is going to rest on them, and they will be, at the end of the year, they will be throwing parties for you. Glory to God. They're going to say, we're inviting Jesus to this thing. Yeah. Glory to God. And we give you all the praise, Lord, and all the glory for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said amen. Yeah.